You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box right here at WCBH Studios, live courtesy of Rumble Spoon Productions. I am here, of course, I'm Donald. I'm here with my compatriots, my compadres, my partners in crime. I'm here with Showtime.
Just got out.
I am here with Big Sal.
Yo, what it do?
And back from obscurity, back from prison, was it? Shant.
It's a best kept secret.
Okay, not right. All right, and we have a special guest, guys. We have a special guest. I'm excited. We have JD here from none other than JD's Long Box. JD, say hello.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Of course.
And just so you guys know, he is wearing pants.
None of the rest of us are, but he is.
Yeah.
He's the one that showed up professional. We don't do that. Not here.
We told him it was pants optional, and I guess he took
it. So JD, give us a quick little synopsis of what is it you do?
I do a review podcast available on YouTube. I review mostly comics, movies, anime, manga.
Nice.
Where can they find you?
Yeah.
At JD's Long Box on YouTube. Perfect.
It's JD's Long Box on YouTube.
Do you have any social media?
No.
Okay. Keeping it old school.
He has YouTube. That's a social media, technically. I've seen a lot lately, a lot of Instagram and TikTok videos are now also streaming on YouTube.
Yep.
They've done the YouTube shorts, which is smart. Google's gotten smart about that. And they're like, okay, we probably should do that because... you know, people's attention spans are getting shorter.
No, JD, do you record directly to YouTube, or do you pre-record and then upload?
It's all pre-recorded. It's all edited images.
Cool.
It's my voice and then images of whatever I'm talking about, whether it's clips from a movie or pages out of a comic book.
And how long you been doing it for, roughly?
4.5 years right now.
That's not bad. Nice. How many followers we have today? Do you know?
How many people are listening right now?
No, let me YouTube channel.
I mean, we are. There's four.
About 90.
That's not bad. I mean, that's not bad.
Good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So yeah. You got 90 subscribers?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Podcasts, like if you were doing podcasts, 15 years ago? Like on the onset of like when podcasts were just like starting, that's when you could hit it big, like insanely big because you're pioneers. You know, you were the first. Yeah. But now, if it's like somebody were to get in the game now, they'd have to like punch the Pope or something in order to get noticed.
I do find though with YouTube is that you do have far more viewers and followers. For some reason, they don't want to click the button, whatever it is. But I know people, a lot of people have it because I watch a lot of YouTube channels, don't necessarily subscribe to them, but I do watch a lot of it. So it's sometimes you just forget and you're watching it and you don't do it. So I'm pretty sure JG has plenty of watchers. Just they don't hit that little button that says subscribe.
That's true.
And I'm really surprised by the things that hit and the things that just fly under the radar.
Yeah.
I did an episode on Conan, blew up, episode on the Barbarian.
Good question.
Did an episode on Battle Angel Alita and that got a lot of views.
Okay. It's kind of crazy though.
Like some of the more like mainstream Spider-Man, Superman stuff doesn't really get a lot of views.
Well, yeah, I think it's because the algorithm with the search, like Conan and, Alita, mm-hmm. whatever it is, Battle Angel, that stuff is a little more niche. I think.
Yeah, and it may like that audience might pick it and then share it with their friends, or it just is cycling through at the same time.
Just type in Spider-Man in YouTube.
Right.
And
you gotta funnel through a bunch of stuff.
Scroll for 2 years and then you'll find our stuff.
But I do find though is that a lot of times that we kind of plan.
And I just got a new subscriber. Thank you.
There you go. Right. Big Sal. Yeah. Wait, thanks, Big Sal. A lot of times we actually put a show together and we think this is going to be amazing. We the way we did it, we set it up, we're like, this is great, it's gonna be perfect, not so much. And then sometimes we sit here and talk and ramble on, and then we go, this is probably gonna suck. And it's like the most views we get. So I guess it's trans on the moment, maybe.
Timing,
or even the fact that, like you said, there are a lot of Conan stuff out there. So when you do a thing for Conan, they're, hey, buddy, man, go check us out, it's a great Conan show.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, today, though, we're gonna be talking about something pretty epic, I think. It is the month. It's the spooktacular month of October.
Favorite month.
Yeah. Favorite holiday for me.
I mean, okay. So low key, when I lived back in Ohio, fall was great. Don't get me wrong. I always liked the winter more because I could get snow, and I love snow for some
snow's reason.
The snow is the best.
Booger sugar?
But now, yeah. But now that I'm out here in California.
No snow.
I love, there's no snow, and I love the fall because you get Halloween, and everybody out here is so into Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got so many people into production, into film and stuff, and they go hardcore.
Backyard haunted houses?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a guy in Burbank that does, every year he does a thing called the Clown House. I think it's two dudes that do it. And they have, like, right on the lawn. You do it right on the
two
lawn.
Two dudes.
That's the Halloween spirit right
out
there.
The lawn,
come
clowns.
To my backyard show brought to you by two dudes.
It's Boingo the Clown. He's there with Mr. Diddles.
I think the thing is you're basically saying you're in Hollywood. So a lot of that production gets done here. So a lot of those props are at somebody's house, or they can go into some warehouse and bring props home and just make this extravagant, you know, front yard scene, which is super cool.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but about 15 years ago, over in the Woodland Hills area, West Hills area, mm-hmm. there was a guy who did, I'm assuming he must have been in production like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He made it in his front yard, a plane accident with real fuselage.
That's pretty dope.
That's insane, yeah.
The FAA had to come out because they were called thinking that there was an actual
plane that went down.
Yeah. And he couldn't do, I mean, he got told he can't do that.
Right.
I'd have been like, look, it's already here. What do you want me to do?
Well, I mean, as in, like, you know, the season was over, essentially. Mm-hmm. But he puts Christmas lights
around it and Santa Claus in the cockpit.
And then it just keep going to the end of the year. Yeah. I mean, I used to live near Hancock Park, and then and there's one big street, and the majority of people on that street were all people that worked in Hollywood on the studios, you know, either at Rally or Paramount. And they would do these big things, right? Because they could just dive into props and do whatever they wanted. And Halloween was so huge, right? Up until like my kids got too old to trick or treat, Halloween was great. And then when they stopped doing it, I was like, bummer, you know, because it's like cool to go out there and see the costumes and, you know, because some people, like you said, really go all out, not just decorating their house, but themselves, like, the, you know, not just like your, you know, you can buy a costume, but people who actually make their own, put it together, it's super cool.
Cosplayers.
Yeah. Yeah, you also bummed out that you had to go out now and get free candy yourself?
No, I'll take my granddaughter now. But
it's smart.
And now here's my question, though. Costumes and Halloween and a cosplayer, same thing or total different genres?
Totally different drama.
Totally I think different. So, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosplayer is more of what, like, you know, like...
It's a job.
Nowadays, you know.
It's kind of a job, like, and it's not, and it's also a hobby.
It's unbelievable how many people in the Instagram circuit, for example, go around at cons and they get tables and they sell photographs of themselves as that character.
Yeah.
And it's not just women. You know, you would think it's just big tittied women. It's not.
I'm like, all for that. There's I'm all for that, by the way.
That, yeah, I know. There's dudes that do it too.
Yeah.
Big titty dudes?
Last Saturday was my first time going to con. LA Comic Con. I know it's not the Super Bowl of like, you know, the Comic Cons is San Diego, right?
Right.
So
it's like, you know, the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. But I still enjoyed myself because it was my first time there. And like,
you pleasured yourself there. Yeah. If I recall.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, everybody.
They're not going to ask you back.
Yeah, you're not invited.
Well, they don't have to ask me. I could buy the ticket, you know, so.
They saw sounds. And, sir,
I'm unrecognizable.
How did you make that costume, sir?
They have your picture up on the wall.
But the thing that I enjoyed was that, like, everybody was themselves, especially, like, when they're doing their cosplay. And, like, I saw Tails. I saw Sonic. You see everybody. I even saw, like, different variant Wolverines, you know what I mean? And it's just like, dude, it's Comic-Con is just basically adult Halloween.
The best part about it is all the cosplayers, well, 90% of them, 99, love having their picture taken.
Yeah,
so you
absolutely
can stop them at any time and be like, hey, can I get your photo? Hell yeah, you can.
Yeah.
The only time you can't, and this is when it gets annoying because you don't know, is when it's people that are paid to be there. Like, there, for example, there used to be like the Star Wars exhibit at San Diego, and there was all these slave Leias that they hired. They hired all these women to dress up as slave Leias. So when they would go on their lunch break or whatever, they'd be walking around and shopping as, you know, and they look like slave Leias. So if you go up to them, oh, can I get my picture? Oh, I'm not working right now. And you're like, what does that even mean? Like, what do you mean you're not working? I don't understand. Are you, oh, you're a prostitute. And then you get slapped.
I like it when you go that JD, to go that route, right?
Immediately.
JD, have you done any YouTube channels on cosplaying or the cons?
I have not. I mean, I'm interested in geek culture, but I haven't gotten to cosplay yet.
Hmm. Or have you been to a couple cons?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So you're saying you're not opposed to us showing up in cosplay at your place?
At my place?
Yeah.
On the 31st with bags to collect candies?
Will you have candies there?
Just on Wednesday. Not. I'll find something. I've got candy from last year.
Here's some ramen noodles.
We take beer.
He hands me up. He's the guy who hands you an orange. You go in the street, he fucking throws an orange in your bag, and he wonders, why are my windows broken?
We used to go to a place. It was a dentist every year at the nicest house, and he would give you a full-size candy bar, a toothbrush, and some toothpaste, and some floss. And I always thought that was super cool. That you got the candy, though, mm-hmm. with it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You and all the adults are the only ones that held that opinion, probably.
No, but I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you would get, like, a popcorn ball. Like, not, like, the sealed one. Like, some lady would make in her house, but it was okay.
With razor blades.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you guys remember the razor blade scare?
Yeah. But, maybe when I was, like, you know, in the 80s, you could go get candy, and you weren't really too worried. Nowadays, you're like, if it's not new, I'm not going
to
take it.
Right. Yeah. It needs to be sealed.
You got to make sure that, you know.
Yeah, I remember our local medical center. I grew up in a really small town, and our local medical center was doing, like, candy scanning. Yeah. And they kind of sold it like they're x-raying everybody's candy, but, you know, they'd be super expensive. Because this was back in the day, they're actually shooting it on film. It's not electronic media back then. Mm-hmm. And so they take our candy in the back, and you just hear this.
It's $50.
And we're like, whoa, they found something. They're just running a metal detector over it. Yeah, and then they bring it back. They bring the bag out. Like, it's all good.
We found 5 pieces of candy that had razor blades. We took them out.
Don't worry. They're wiping the chocolate off their face.
The guy walks in and goes, sorry, sir, your candy was all bad. You had to go back out there to look for some more.
So I'm a suspect. Your king-size Twix had mercury on it.
You know, all of your circus peanuts and your candy corn was just fine.
Yeah.
It always happens to worst neighborhoods that give the full-size bars. Those always had the razor blades.
But I mean, like, to this day, taking my granddaughter trick-or-treating, we have a bag of candy that we pre-bought or pre-whatever set up. She comes home, let me check your candy. I take it into the back room. I bring her back the one we already checked. Here you go. And then she walks away and she has no clue, right? It's just the easiest way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's some fucking crazy people out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then grandpa gets all cuts in his mouth.
Do you do a grandpa tax on your...
Always.
Always?
Yeah. One for you, like a cheese tax. Two for me. Yeah.
Give me that cheese.
You know, we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about scary things. What we wanted to discuss was kind of like the explosion in the past, probably what, like 5 years of horror comics, like comic books that just tell horrific stories, really fucked up shit, or like classic monster stuff. Let me just give you a list. And of course, we're going to go over a few of these in particular, but let me give you a list of just a few things that I wrote down while I was perusing a short box of like books. We have The Nasty, which is about a Scottish kind of like a Jason character that came to life from a videotape. We have Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, anthropomorphic animals that basically it's like Dexter with bears and goats. We have Creepshow, of course, from the classic series. Vampirella, who's been around since the 70s, since the magazine era of horror. The Universal Monsters, you know, Frankenstein, Dracula, Creature, all that stuff. Maniac of New York, again, another kind of Jason homage. Sam and Twitch, which was a Todd McFarlane creation, two detectives. Arkham Horror, which is a brand new one. I don't know anything about that one. Butcher's Boy, which is about a group of friends that go out to a very small town and suddenly feel the desire to kill. Cruel Universe, which is basically this new comic book company's love homage, their love letter to the old EC comic books. And Mark Millar's Bite Club, which is kind of like Fight Club, but which with like kind of like luchador vampires. So we have all of that just off the top, like one box I looked through and I found all of that. And there's probably as many as I saw there, there's probably 100 times more in the last 5 years that have come out. Independent companies in particular are cranking them out. We just got Creature Commandos last week, I think it was, from DC Comics. So, you know, and then you have Man-Thing, you have Swamp Thing, you have Morbius the Living Vampire, Ghost Rider. The list goes on and on and on, you know? And What is it? Why in the last probably 5 years did we have this explosion of these comic books? And what comic books out of these do we love and why?
I think for me, more or less, you start to see more horror type shows, right? More horror cons, Monsterpalooza, and so on and so forth. And I gravitate more towards like the Universal Monsters, Creature from Black Lagoon, right. Dracula, because there's no superhero of any kind in that. It's just Dracula doing his thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or Creature from Black Lagoon, and so on and so forth. And the story just falls in that direction. You're not really thinking about, is he going to win? Is he not going to win? It's mainly what the creature does on a day-to-day basis. So I think I gravitate more towards those. But Maniac in New York was a great read, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they did the first series, and then it was so well, and then they did a second and a third series where he ended up in each series was him in a different borough of New York.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he would, you know. So
I think the second one was Bronx is Burning or something.
Bronx is Burning, that's correct. And then, and I think at some point when he got to the third borough is when it really kind of tapered off and people kind of, because then it just kept repeating itself.
Yeah.
So they didn't have, like the first two were the same and the third one got there and people said, it's got to evolve a little bit.
Yeah. There has to be something new to keep you attracted to it. And that, I think that part of the problem with some of these series that we watch, you know, the horror mythos, like, for example, I'm going to say it, but like Terminator's played out. I've seen Terminator movies and every time I watch them now, it's the same shit. And I'm like, I don't care. Aliens, I watched the newest one, which was Aliens Romulus. Didn't give a shit, you know? No matter, I was like, oh, really? It's in a spaceship? Oh, you know, is there going to be aliens and they can't escape because they're in space? And, you know, oh no, that door's not going to open. It's just too predictable. So with the printed page, though, you know, with comic books, you have things that you can do that you can't do in film easily. So a writer that writes for, you know, Predator, or writes an idea for aliens or something, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. Maybe can go, okay, well then maybe they're not aliens. Mm. Maybe they're, you know, Chupacabra. And now I'm writing that story and then I send it out to Scout Comics or IDW or something and they love it. Or they go, okay, we'll give it a shot, you know? We're looking for new material. There, and then boom, bang, boom, you have a hit on your hands and, you know, you're getting a four-parter and then they're like, okay, so that was successful. Let's, you know, my buddy Alex Bankita wrote a series for Scout Comics called Headless. Wrote the first series of that, and it was really successful for him. He did really well with it. So they're like, okay, let's give him a second time. So he wrote the sequel, and that was really successful. So now, you know, now he's sitting back. He's like, okay, so when's the third? You know, when's the third? And how's that going to do for me? When's the third going? You know, how am I going to? And, you know, that goes on and on and on when it comes to series like this. So for me, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, it's monetary. When it, like, they wanted this idea to be done in a different way, in something, some other, you know, type of media, you know, like film or television, but it just didn't happen. Mm. And so they, you know, they pivoted and said, okay, let's try comics. You got your storyboard right there.
Well, you're right about Terminator. I mean, they were done with that premise after the first one because they turned him into a hero, right?
Yeah. Yeah, technically, yeah, yeah. They made the villain the hero, mm-hmm. which was a great turn, a fantastic turn.
Right.
And then by the third one, you're like, we get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Terminator 2 is my favorite movie, so I can't criticize it, but Arnold has captured that franchise and it's all Arnold now. You can't even really tell a Terminator story without him. Yeah, like, yeah. Recently they released a new Terminator comic, which is back to the old, the Terminator is coming to kill people.
Well, they tried. Remember, Arnold did a bunch, and then they got rid of him for, I think it was one movie?
Well, he was the governor at the time.
Yeah. And no, it was two movies.
Two movies, and they realized
But they used Salvation as him as a computer-generated young Arnold for the T-800 for the launch.
Right, but I'm saying, after they did the one without him completely, they realized that at some, he is, in essence, he's the movie.
Do you think he's going to sell his facial rights, like, of him?
When he dies?
Yeah.
For, like, AI kind of thing?
Yeah.
Does he have to?
Particularly for this.
My question, getting too far, but when you do a comic, right, and you create a character, like Spider-Man.
Well, Arnold is the Terminator.
100%.
Like, when Stan Winston built the model, they took x-rays of Arnold's skull to make it look like that's what's underneath his skin. And he is the smartest lawyers that figured out that if it's his face, he is the Terminator, and he has to be the Terminator, and they have to get permission from him to use his face. Hmm. So, and that was back in, the early 80s when he figured that out. That was his third feature film.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone checked out the Terminator anime movie or the show on Netflix?
No.
Everybody's saying it's amazing.
What's it called?
It's Terminator Zero.
Okay, no, I haven't.
And so basically the premise is that instead of it being in L.A., it's a bomb going off in Tokyo, in Japan.
So basically it's the same movie, just in Tokyo.
It's much different. I'm having a hard time getting through it. It's slow, and it has a little bit of Terminator, but it takes a long time to get to there. It.
Yeah, but people are saying it's anime.
It's like the new Godzilla Zero, right? At the beginning, minus one. It's a lot of story of Japan and the bomb dropping and so on and so forth, and then you get bits and pieces of Godzilla. You know, so you're watching a movie that takes a long time to get to Godzilla, or it shows you a glimpse of him, and then a long time to get to him, and then it goes away, and then it's just at the end you get him one more time. So it's a movie that the buildup is when you think Godzilla minus, you know, you obviously see Godzilla, but you don't. So in this one, he's saying is in Terminator, it's you're expecting to see the Terminator, and it's a lot of buildup to get there.
Yeah.
Sometimes with certain people, not myself counting, it takes a little time. If it takes too much time to get to something, sometimes you just lose interest and you move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But the new comic books that are coming out, the Cruel Worlds?
Cruel Universe is what it's called.
I feel like the people that grew up watching The Creep Show and the Tales from the Crypt, these are the guys that are making this stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, a lot of it is a love letter to what they've seen in the past.
Exactly.
Which makes complete sense.
And not only that, the covers for each issue that comes out is just an amazing artwork that I love about it.
I always thought Sam and Twitch was kind of a joke, kind of like within the Spawn universe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never credited McFarlane for being a good writer. Never.
Yeah. No.
But he did help create those characters. You know, Sam and Twitch is something that he had a part in, you know? And I'm reading the first issue of the new series that came out, like 6-7 months ago? And they're trying to track down a serial killer, and it's gnarly.
Yeah.
It's gnarly. The end of the first issue has body parts everywhere, and I'm like, holy fuck. So I'm telling everybody, and there's a guy at the shop, and he only likes Spawn. You know, he loves the Spawn universe. And I said, why don't you read Sam and Twitch? And he's like, no.
Total opposite. It's total opposite.
No, no.
Yeah. It's a total opposite.
He's like, no, I'm not into that. I was like, but do you like horror? You know, do you like serial killers? Do you like creepy stuff? Do you like detective shows? And he's like, oh, I like some of it. And I was like, okay. And then no. 6 months later, he's like, okay, give me the first issue. I wore him down. He gets it. And then he comes back in within the next couple weeks. And he's like, yeah, you know, you were right. Sam and Twitch is really good. And I was like, yes, I knew it. I knew I could convert you, because if you get, no matter what, but like if you even have a little bit of a fandom for something like that, you know, for a procedural drama, police show, or, you know, a serial killer-esque thing, you know, kind of like Dexter, something like that, then that's up your alley, you know, and you will enjoy it. And yeah, and I mean, there is a bit of that Spawn universe.
Doesn't that work as a gateway? I mean, that's the brilliance of Todd McFarlane. He's making this expanded universe.
Yeah.
And he's had these characters around for 30 plus years. But now he's like, oh, if you like the detective drama, you might be sucked in here. If you like the action, you might be sucked in on this title. You like the kind of spooky demon stuff, you'll like this title.
Mm-hmm.
But you like all of it, it's all one big universe.
Yeah. It's really, really smart on his part to expand his universe the way he did.
The hard part for people who are Spawn fans, they want to see Spawn on a cover. If they don't see Spawn, they immediately want to go, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
But there's times, like I said, I saw the Man Thing was it a TV show?
Yeah, it was the Werewolf by Night
TV show, right? And immediately I said, I want to know more about the man thing. So then you, Shot mentioned to me the writer, what was the writer's name again?
Steve Gerber.
So I read the omnibus. And let me tell you, I like to read comics, but that was not tough in terms of a bad read. It was a great read. It just was it's a big book.
It's a task.
It's a task. And it tells you everything about it. And I read that. And then I started to really look about what else horror stuff that he wrote. Because it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he did some Hellstorm stuff, some Damien Hellstorm, within Howard the Duck's universe, to be honest.
Yep.
Howard the Duck was the first appearance of some of these characters, too.
Yep, the Howard the Duck was in the Man-Thing special or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was created because of his love for horror.
But a duck?
A talking duck that likes to smoke and womenize. It's great.
It's a satire.
Who remembers the original Howard the Duck movie?
Right.
Oh my God. I love that movie too.
I love that movie.
Oh my God, did we just become
He's
best
my
friend?
Boyfriend.
JD, did you see
sick
this
little
movie?
Girl.
We're friends now?
Yeah.
I think I've seen half of it a long time ago.
Do you see the good half or the bad half?
Was there a good half?
There you go.
He's a really big fan of Jeff.
Do you
Jones.
Remember the duck tits?
Too soon.
Oh yes. I just thought about that.
Yeah, that was big talk in my, what was it, second or third grade?
Yeah. I can tell you right now, you know, I saw it recently, and I was like, man, this is pretty bad, but good at the same time, because it's something that, you know, brings you back to that sitting on the carpet, watching, you know,
nostalgia
your old fucking TV box, you know, the, you know.
Yeah. Three really solid actors were in that film.
And they were? And they were?
Oh.
Leah Thomas?
Yes, Leah Thomas. Leah Tomlin, right?
No, Leah Thompson.
Thompson.
Or Thomas. Thompson.
Thompson. Thompson.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Back to the Future.
And I'm going to say it, Jeffrey Jones. He's not, you know, everybody's favorite guy, but he's a great actor.
He was not bad. He was better then than now.
Yeah. 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 And then, of course, Tim Robbins.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So
who did the voice of Howard?
Did he also do the voice?
No, I'm asking. Who did the voice?
I have no idea. Who was it? You don't know.
Why would you ask a question and not have the answer?
It was Howie Mandel.
Was it really?
No.
You don't know.
That's
a pretty, that's a really good throw out, though, if you didn't know.
JD, before we go, what's your favorite horror comic?
Favorite horror comic? Well,
horror, not horror. Horror.
I mean, you can answer the other question too.
Yeah, if you want.
Well, since I just did my latest episode on the X-Files characters, I kind of came across the old X-Files comic from Topps.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. It's very truthful to the series. It has the same tone, same pacing.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
dark,
I've
very
fallen
dark
asleep.
Inking, heavy inks. Looks really good.
Some of those episodes were awful, I will say. Mm. Like, but there was more. I don't know if there was more hits than misses in the X-Files, but I still loved it. I still loved it. Duchovny was just too lovable. He's just such a charming man. I think if he walked in right now into this door and was like, "Kiss me, Sal," you'd be up there smooching.
He always struck me as very sleepy.
He's taking a little too many Tylenol PMs.
Yeah. So Chip Zien was the voice of Howard the Duck.
Chip Zien.
Okay.
So we're in the Halloween spirit.
Oh, wait. I got to jump in. Honorable mention to Swamp Thing.
Great.
Bernie Wrightson's artwork is unmatched.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Anytime a Swamp Thing book, just because you wrote up, great read. Anytime a Swamp Thing book comes in the store, what's the first thing we do? Open the cover, because you never know when you strike gold and you have a little Bernie Wrightson signature on the inside. He never signed the outside.
It's like with any Kirby book.
Yeah, it's like Kirby book. But, you know, so we had for a while a good run of Swamp Things signed by Bernie Wrightson, which was super cool.
I bet you half the people listening, or maybe 20%, those people at home right now that are listening, if they go to their collection of their comic books that they have, if they have comic books, there's going to be an autograph from one of those books on the inside on one of the pages they never knew about.
A Stan Lee, a Todd McFarlane, Bernie Wrightson, Kirby.
Because that was the old school way. You would sign inside so you wouldn't ruin the cover art. Well, I don't mind personally. It's a great idea.
A lot of artists would refuse. They didn't want to sign over the art, so they would sign on the inside. They didn't want to sign the outside.
Right. That makes sense.
Did you guys enjoy the Swamp Thing TV show?
From when? Recently?
The new one.
That they put on the CW? Yeah. Loved it. Thought it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. Really
I remember the original Swamp Thing.
The movie.
Oh, God. What's her name with the...
Heather Locklear?
She had the big perm.
Boudere?
Yeah. She had the giant black perm.
Adrienne Barbeau.
That's
Tits McGee is what I call her.
Yeah.
Wes Craven, too.
Mm-hmm. She didn't like it when I said... I thought she'd be fine or funny, but no sense of humor there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
who would have thought? Nobody, a woman doesn't like to be...
It's McGee.
Yeah.
Now, Swamp Thing, was what Constantine's first appearance was in Swamp Thing. And mm-hmm. Constantine is coming out with Keanu Reeves.
Arguably more popular now than Swamp Thing.
Correct. But they went away from making it a featured film, and it's now going to be a TV series.
Yeah.
On Netflix or Amazon. But it looks uh-huh. pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
he shows up in quite a few of those DC animated films too. Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. The ones that deal with supernatural stuff. He's the one that shows up, not Dr. Fate.
And I'll still argue to this day that Swamp Thing can take the Hulk. 100%.
That's an argument for another show.
I know. But with that, thank you everybody for being here and for listening. I want to give a special thanks to JD, of course, from JD's Longbox. You can find him on YouTube under JD's Longbox.
Stop by. Make sure you subscribe.
Yeah. And thanks to WCBH Studios for hosting this podcast. We appreciate you. Special shout out to Rumble Spoon Productions and to everybody listening. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Give us a like, give us a follow, and tell your friends. And with that, if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.